Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
The doctor is in. Let's chat with the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Thomas Moran. Good morning, doctor. Let's talk first about something on the minds of a lot of people on Monday morning. You wake up with a little pain, maybe you did too much over the weekend, and I count myself among this group. Not sure what to take. Advil, Tylenol, aspirin. Can you go through the difference on sure. all that?
Good morning, Bob. Lots of people reach for these over-the-counter drugs, either Advil or Tylenol or even aspirin, and they think, you know, it's over-the-counter, so most of the time people think they're overall safe. I think what we have to understand is all drugs have some risks associated with them, and you have to know what you're doing when you're picking a drug. Acetaminophen or Tylenol, really good for fever, minor pains. But you also have to watch because the risk of it is taking too much of it could damage your liver. The anti-inflammatories or ibuprofen or Advil, great for muscle aches and pains. Again, watch and taking too much of it because taking it on an empty stomach, if you have cardiovascular risk factors and you take too much of the anti-inflammatories, you can increase your risk of either having a stomach irritation or even an ulcer formation. Or you can have an increased risk of having a cardiovascular event like a stroke or a heart attack. So the way you think of these over-the-counter drugs is, if I have a minor ache and pain, I have a little bit of a fever, I could take it for, you know, a day or so, manage myself and see how I feel. If I'm still needing it for more than a day or so, then you should really talk with your doctor. Because there's a lot of people that take these and think more is better and I'm going to get a bigger effect because I took a higher dose of medication. And for any medicine, that's not the way that the medication really works, and you can run into trouble with it.
What about mixing some of these
drugs? So cold flu season, a lot of people take over-the-counter cold and flu symptomatic relief. And in addition to taking that medication, which usually either has an anti-inflammatory or acetaminophen in it, they take an additional anti-inflammatory, ibuprofen, or a Tylenol, and they're taking too much of that drug at one time. So you really have to read the labels on the cough and cold medications to kind of make sure that you're not getting too much. The other thing you could do to kind of help if you're having a acute pain or you're running a fever with the flu or something like that, is you can alternate between the two drugs. So you could say you start at 12 o'clock and you take Tylenol. 3 hours later, you could take a ibuprofen or an Advil. And then 3 hours after that, you could take a Tylenol dose again. You're never going to overdose yourself in doing this, and you're kind of always giving yourself a little bit of medication to keep your fever down or keep your aches and pains under control. It's a good way to kind of manage yourself at home. But the big thing to remember is if you're taking it longer term wise, there should be something that you should talk with your doctor about of why you're having these symptoms continuously that you need to stay on a medication like this.
When I was growing up, and I can still see the Bayer aspirin bottle that my mom always kept handy, it was aspirin for everything. And it's still, in fact, I was talking to some doctor recently who said, you know, if aspirin was expensive, you'd hear more about it being the wonder drug. But it's still the go-to for a lot of folks, and rightly so, isn't it?
Yes. It works really well. Aspirin's a great medication. It has pain relief properties. It has anti-inflammatory. It helps with fever. It does a great job with it. But again, with any of those drugs, you got to watch with making sure you're taking on, you know, with some food so it doesn't sit in the empty stomach. And if you're on other medications, that's one of the things of taking over-the-counter drugs in general is make sure you understand your list of medications that you're on. Talk to the pharmacist. That's what they're there for, to ask, can I take this with the drugs that I'm currently prescribed and use them? They're a great reference. They're there and available, and they're there to help you, especially with the over-the-counter drugs.
Dr. Thomas Moran is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. We, from time to time, talk about supplements here because there are always questions about vitamins. Let's concentrate on vitamin A this morning, doctor, and talk a little bit about who should take it and who shouldn't.
Yeah, vitamin A has gotten some recent press with the measles outbreak in Texas. There's been some, you know, information out there that taking vitamin A might prevent or, you know, stop you from getting measles, which isn't true. Supplements in general, when you think about this, is it helps. Vitamin A is a fast soluble vitamin. It really helps our vision, especially night vision. It supports our skin integrity and health. It helps, you know, maintain our immune system and our reproductive system. The issue comes up with, do you really need a supplement? If you have a good balanced diet, you have a variety of foods that you eat, majority of the time you're getting everything you need through your diet. You don't need to take a pill or spend money on a supplement to boost your level. Vitamin A is a fat-soluble vitamin, which is different than the water-soluble. Water-soluble, like vitamin C, you take more than you need. You usually excrete it out and urinate it out. And fat-soluble vitamins get stored. So taking too much of a fat-soluble vitamin can actually lead to problems of almost like a poisoning of taking too much of it. So you really want to balance it. If your doctor says that you have a condition that leads to problems in absorbing vitamin A, they might put you on a supplement. There are certain conditions that could do that. But if you don't have that, there's really not a need overall to take vitamin A as a supplement itself. Most of the supplements, when you think that way, you really don't need to spend money on to actually get it if you have a good, balanced, healthy diet.
Yeah, eat your spinach. You'll work for Popeye. What about the best time to take a vitamin A, or for that matter, other vitamins? And should you always take them with food?
Most of the time, you know, I think of the supplement, if you're going to be on it, you want to take it at a time of the day where you're going to be absorbing stuff and take it with a little bit of food. But I just think overall, I mean, one of the advice I give a lot of people is really, if you're balanced in what you eat, you're fairly regulated in eating healthy foods, don't spend money on a supplement. If your doctor says that you really need it and we're going to put you on vitamin A at a certain amount for a period of time, you should take it. There are some individuals that you really look at that should really stay away from it because it could cause other problems. If you're on a blood thinner, you don't want to be taking it. If you're pregnant or breastfeeding, unless your doctor specifically says, you don't want to be taking it because you're going to get it in your diet. It's just common sense when you start looking through some of these things. There's a lot of information out there. Really speak with your doc. Talk to a pharmacist. They are a great source, like I talked about earlier, of information, but don't waste your money.
You mentioned the measles. What do we need to know now about the measles vaccine?
Yeah, measles vaccine, I mean, the thing that works the best for preventing measles is the vaccination. The recommended way of getting the vaccine is you usually get it at 12 months to 15 months, you get your first dose, and then 4 to 6 years, you get your second dose. With the outbreak that has been going on, it's new way of really giving the vaccine is if you're under 12 months old, you're going to get your first dose at 6 months, and then you're going to get another dose at about 1 year, and then a third dose at 4 to 6. If you're over 12 months old and you haven't been vaccinated, you're going to get a dose right now at 12 months, and then 28 days later, you're going to get your second dose. There's also a population of patients between 1963 and 1968 that got a vaccination for measles, and it wasn't that effective. And I can give you a firsthand knowledge about it is, you know, I was in that range, and I had my titers checked a couple of years ago to see if I had any immunity to measles, and I didn't. And I needed to get a booster as an adult to make sure that I was protected against getting measles. So there are times that even adults need a little bit of booster of vaccination. The only way to prevent it is vaccination.
What was that you said about how you determined you needed it? What kind of test?
So you get a blood test to see if you have immunity or not. If you've been, if your vaccination has worked and you sustained your immunity against it, or that you've been exposed to measles and now you have immunity against it. If you don't have that in the blood test, you basically have to get vaccinated again. And there's a population between 63 and 68 where our vaccine at that time wasn't as effective as it is now.
Mm-hmm. Good to know. Dr. Thomas Moran, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. Have a good day. Thank you very much.
Take care, Bob. Have a great day.